So if you would, take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 17, verse 15 and 16. If you're visiting with us this morning, thank you for coming, and we are studying the book of John on Sunday mornings. We started at John 1:1, and we have made our way 130-some sermons later to John 17, verse 15. So we're in an ongoing study of this great gospel. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your blessings upon our life. Thank you for the good week we've had, your love for us, your care for us is without fault, and we thank you for it. We're glad that we are the recipients of your love and kindness and mercy toward us. And we pray that you would help us this morning as we have come together this morning to hear your word read and preached, to sing songs of praise and glory to you. We pray, God, that you would take your word this morning and you would instruct us with it, that you would open our ears to hear what it truly says, that we may be helped and we may be strengthened and we may be encouraged. And maybe there is one here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior and Lord. I pray this morning may be that very day in which you would convict them of their sins and save them for your glory. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do for all of us through your word this morning. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Verse 15, John 17. Jesus says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And those are the words of Christ, pinned down for us under the inspiration of the Spirit of God by the Apostle John, preserved for us for this very moment. And all God's people in grateful hearts said, amen. The immediate context of this prayer of Christ is his concern for his disciples. Immediately, his 11 disciples, but in a broader range, all of his disciples. And his concern is that he is going to be leaving physically from the world, going back to the Father, but they are not. They are going to be in the world without his physical presence. And Jesus is concerned because he understands how dangerous this world is for his disciples. Although we may not fully appreciate how dangerous the world is, Jesus does. So being concerned that his disciples will be in the world without him, he prays. And he prays that the Father would keep them. He would keep those given to him by the Father, and he boasts that while he was here on earth, he kept them. So there is no doubt, given this prayer, that the disciples of Christ are indeed kept by the power of God, because it is what Jesus prayed for. And his prayers are perfect. And his prayers are always heard, and his prayers are always answered. The question that we began to examine last week in this prayer is exactly how does Jesus pray for God to keep us? Or, maybe better, the question is, what does it mean that we are kept? What are the means by which God keeps us? It's not just by osmosis. What does it mean theologically to believe the truth of eternal security of the believer? That's what we're answering from this portion of Jesus' prayer. We're kept, but how are we kept? And if you'll remember, we pointed out that God keeps his people in a number of ways, one of which we looked at last week was that God keeps his people by supplying certain things to them, including the gift of joy of Jesus Christ, the gift of joy of Jesus Christ, the joy that is in every believer that is unconnected with any circumstances that we have to go through. So even in the hardest of times, God supplies us with an internal joy. He supplies us with the word of revelation of who God is. And finally, he supplies us with the guarantee that we are not of this world. And that guarantee is the world's hatred and persecution toward us. Today, I want to give you a second way that God keeps us. The first, by what he supplies. And secondly, that we are secured by God in the world. And there are two points that I want to give you this morning. We are kept in the world and not taken out of it. And we are kept from the evil that is in this world. Kept in the world and kept from the world. So let's examine those two things this morning. Number one, we are kept by being present in the world. I pray not, Jesus says, that thou shouldest take them out of the world. So Jesus specifically says what he's not asking for. So just to be clear, Jesus says, I'm not asking the Father to take my disciples out of the world. I'm asking that they be kept in the world and not taken out of it. Do you see that? So let's do some inventory in what Jesus has already said. Jesus has communicated the truth that where he is going, back to the Father, his disciples cannot go now, but one day they would follow. Right? There is a desire on the part of Jesus that his disciples be with him. And he has promised to return to receive them to himself. And Jesus has said that this world is full of trials and tribulations and trouble, and that the world will hate them and persecute them. So Jesus wants his disciples to be with him, and he realizes how dangerous it is for them to be in the world without him. So I would expect Jesus to pray, Father, take them out of the world. Get them out of the world. Let them go with me when I go. But he doesn't pray that, does he? The reason that we are kept in the world is not that we have anything in common with the world, because we don't. The world hated Christ and it hates his disciples because they are, what he said, not of the world. And he says, we no more belong to this world than Jesus belonged to the world. We have been chosen by God out of the world. The ecclesia, the church, out of the world. Those things that we really treasure, those things that we actually long for, those things that we find eternal, lasting significance in and value in are not here. Where are they? They're somewhere else. They're in heaven. Our Lord is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our names are written down in heaven. Our inheritance is in heaven. So, given all that, have you ever asked the question? Have you ever pondered in your heart, why does God leave us here after he saves us? Wouldn't it not be far better, from my perspective, I think it would, that God would save me and then take me on to be with heaven and I could avoid all of this? But he doesn't do that, does he? And Jesus doesn't pray that. And you get all kinds of answers to why people think that God leaves us here after he saves us, but the biblical answer is simple. The disciples of Christ are kept here in the world because that's what Jesus prays. He prays, don't take them out of the world. And when Jesus prays this prayer, he prays it for good. Say amen. If you'll think about it, where would we be theologically if he had not prayed that his 11 disciples not be taken out of the world? We wouldn't have a New Testament, would we? And we would not have a clear understanding or view of God from scriptures, would we? You see, his 11 disciples are left here, are prayed to be left in the world for our good, so that you and I on this day can open the scriptures and read it and know more of God, because his disciples were prayed to be kept in the world and not taken out of the world. They're left here for our good. And we too, who are saved, are not removed from the world because of good. God does not want us to be isolated. He doesn't want us to be insulated from the world. Because what you get when you have isolated sinners with desperately wicked hearts, when they separate from the world, what do you get? You get sinners with desperately wicked hearts. Because purity and righteousness doesn't come from isolation. The problem of sin is not outside of ourselves. The problem of sin is inside of ourselves. So it was not the desire of Christ for his disciples to isolate themselves to some commune. He prays that we would remain in the world because you can't make yourself righteous by isolating yourself from the world. So, the difficulty is, how can we be in the world and not be corrupted by the world? How can we demonstrate, display holiness in the world? Jesus doesn't pray that these men would be taken out of the world. He doesn't pray that they would experience death and be taken to heaven. Even though they may be weary and they may be tired. And Paul says, to be with Christ is far better than to be here, right? So writing to the Philippians, Paul says, to be with Christ will be far better than being here with you, although he loved the Philippians. But staying was far better for the Philippians. Do you see that? To be with Christ was far better for Paul, but Christ being left here was far better for the Philippians. Spurgeon said, let me quote this, quote, Christians are always wanting to die when they have any trouble or trial. You ask them why? Because we would be with the Lord. Yes, they want to be with the Lord when trouble and temptations come upon them, but it is not because they're panting to be with the Lord. It is because they desire to get rid of their troubles. Else they would not want to die at all times when a little vexation is upon them. They want to go home not so much for the Savior's company as to get out of a little hard work. They did not wish to go away when things were quiet and prosperous. Like lazy fellows as most of us are, when we get into a little labor, we beg to go home. Close quote. So we're not to desire to get out, right? Because Jesus prayed we stay in. And if Jesus can't pray a bad prayer, then it only makes sense that being left in the world is a good thing for us. He intends good to come out of us staying here for however long he allows us to stay here. So, what are those good things that can come out of us staying here? Well, it is for our good, I think, and it is for the good of the world, and it is for the glory of God. We are kept here, and as we are kept here in this world, we are to be salt and we are to be light. Salt to a corruptive, sinful environment, and light to a dark environment. And so the presence of believers here on earth actually restrains sin. And the reason the world is not much worse than what it is that we're here. God's people are here, or it will be absolutely, totally chaotic. If you think it's bad now, take God's people out and the Spirit out and imagine how bad it could actually get. Although the world hates us, although the world persecutes us, although the world wants rid of us, we're really good for the world. They just don't know it. And because we're kept in the world, and we go through all of the trials and troubles of the world, our hunger for God in heaven is increased, is it not? The longer we are away from Christ, the greater we long to be with Christ. Not to avoid the trouble and the work, but to worship, glorify, and be with Him without sin. Plus, do you not think that we will enjoy heaven more because of the time we spent here? How much more greater will heaven be compared to the time we spent on this earth? This world, time in this world, makes heaven even sweeter. The more trials and troubles we have here, the more heaven seems all the much better. And the time we spend here on earth prepares us for heaven, does it not? Listen to what Paul writes to Timothy. He says, "Exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. So godliness, the pursuit of godliness, the exercise of godliness profits us not only in this life, but Paul says in the life to come. Paul says that our pursuit of godliness here will benefit us here and will benefit us there. As we fight sin, as we battle sin, as we seek godliness, as we discipline ourselves by the work of the Spirit of God from sin and pursuing after godliness in this life, it has some sort of impact on the life that is to come. I don't know what, but Paul says it does. We are being developed and we are being prepared for eternity while we are here now. And God is going to be glorified by us keeping in the world. It is God who is glorified when He is able to display the truth that He can take dead, lost sinners and breathe life into them, turn their affections around so that they are willing to renounce the world and everything that is in it and pursue a greater love in Jesus Christ. Who does that? God does that. Only God can do that. So God gets the glory from that. God is glorified when the world sees that we have no treasure here, but that our treasure is Jesus Christ. And you are willing to part with everything here to have Him and to be with Him. His glory is displayed by saving sinners from this world and leaving them in the world and demonstrating that God keeps them, makes them holy and pure, because He saved them. His glory is displayed in every trial, every trouble, every persecution. It is displayed in the hatred of the world toward us when we treasure Him, love Him, worship Him, serve Him, obey Him, and magnify Him while we're here. So Jesus prays that His disciples be kept in this world and not taken from it, because their being here will be good for the world, it will be good for them, and it will be glorifying to God. Why has God kept us here? And why does God continue to keep us here? For the good of the world. For our own good. and for the glory of God. Amen? Number two, we are kept by being present in the world, and we are kept by being protected in the world. I don't pray that you take them out of the world. I pray that you keep them in the world. And thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So we're kept in the world, but while we are being kept in the world, we are being kept from the world. Are you with me? And this is God's work, okay? What that means is, your days are in the hands of God. Say amen. You stay here as long as God wants you to stay here. You're kept here on earth by God, and you're kept from the world while you're here by God. The sense is, while we are being kept in the world, God is going to watch over us and protect us from the world, because it is a dangerous place. Amen. We are kept from evil in general, and we are kept from the evil one specifically. We are being protected from iniquities, and we are being protected from the influences of the world, and we're being protected from sin, and we are being protected from the one who is behind all that evil in the world, which is Satan. God protects us from the evil of this world, and He protects us from the evil one. And God works to keep us and to keep sin from us in this world. It doesn't mean we don't sin, because we do. But we are kept from evils that so easily could shipwreck our lives. Can you imagine how much evil that you would indulge in if God wasn't keeping evil from you? We are preserved from the evil of this world, from the evil one, and we are even preserved, I think, from the evil that is in our own flesh. God protects us from ourselves while we are being kept in this world, and God knows I need to be protected from myself. You remember the prayer that Christ led His disciples to pray, "Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Why do we need to pray that God would not lead us into temptation? Because we don't trust ourselves. The protection from evil is in God, produces in us a hatred for sin and a love for righteousness. That is what He prays for His disciples. Don't take them out of the world, because it's necessary and good that they be kept in the world and not taken out of it. But while they're in the world, keep them from the evil that fills this world. Keep them from the evil one that seeks to destroy them. And keep them from the evil that is in their own hearts. I'm glad Jesus prayed that prayer. Because evil can destroy you. Sin can destroy you. Worldliness will destroy you. And everything good will be destroyed by sin. And if it wasn't for this reality of this prayer, the results of this prayer, instead of glorifying God while we're here, in our evil and in our sinfulness, we would cause the world to question whether God was truly capable or not. And so we should echo this prayer, should we not? We should pray this prayer for ourselves. We should pray this prayer for our children and our grandchildren, our spouses, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, keep us from evil. Keep us from the evil of this world. Keep us from the evil of Satan, and keep us from the evil that is in our own hearts. How does God do that? I think He does that through the conviction of sin. I think believers who sin are convicted of that sin by the Spirit of God that lives in them. I think when we become worldly or we lean toward worldliness, I think we're convicted of that. And I think not only does the Spirit of God convict us of these things, but He convinces us of the truth. I think that God keeps and preserves His people by causing us to hate the sin He hates and to pursue the holiness that He loves. That keeps us from most evil. Say amen. I told the deacons today that I was so busy this week that I didn't have time to get in trouble. You know what will keep you out of sin? Pursue holiness. The pursuit of holiness will keep you from sin. And I think God works in us to pursue this end through the God-ordained means that He has provided. Even though God is sovereign to keep us from evil, we have to recognize God is working in and through us to will and to do His good pleasure. So God doesn't just keep us regardless of what we think or do, right? The reason why we don't believe that you Baptists believe that God can save you and then you can live any way you want to. No, we don't. That's not what the Bible teaches. We believe that God saves us and then He keeps us from evil while we're kept in the world. And it's ridiculous to think that someone can be saved and not kept from evil. There is a reason, that I don't desire the things that I once desired. There is a reason why I don't enjoy the things that I used to absolutely enjoy. There's a reason that I don't desire to go to the places I used to go. There's a reason I don't desire to indulge in the things that I used to indulge in. There's a reason I don't think the way I used to think. And the reason is I'm being kept from evil by God while I'm kept in the world. And we are kept in this world for our own good, for the world's good, and for the glory of God. And being kept in the world, we are being kept from the evil of the world, from the evil one, and even from our own wicked hearts. God's people are kept from bowing the knee to this world and from this world's system. The Bible says something interesting. It says, speaking of those who are chosen by God, He said, even the very elect would be turned. What is the word that the Word of God uses? Even the very elect would, what is the word? Deceived. Even the very elect would be deceived if it were possible. It's not possible. Why? Because we're kept. We are salt, we are light, being kept in this world to salt corruption, to keep things from rotting to the extent that they could rot. And we are light to expose sin, to shine in darkness. And while we are light and salt, we're not contaminated by the rot. We're not influenced by the darkness because we are being kept by God from the evil of this world. So, it changes, I think, the way you look at things, because very easily, we could give you a list of do's and don'ts, right? Don't do this, don't go here, don't do that. And then we send you off on your way and tell you to try harder, do better. No. The confidence we have is God's people are being kept. While in this world, they're being kept from the evil of this world, amen? And we pray that for one another. God, keep us. Hear and answer the prayer of Christ. Keep us from the evil of this world. And that's how we are kept. By supplying joy to us, right? By supplying the revelation of the Word of God to us and showing us who God is, by causing the world to hate us to prove that we're not of this world. Say amen. By keeping us in this world for our good, for the good of the world, for the glory of God, and by keeping us from the world while we're kept in the world. That's what we mean, partly by we are preserved in our salvation. There's two more parts of that we'll look at in the next week or so. Amen? Let's pray.